I'm ready, Jim.
Bob Almanac, here we go. Monday, the 28th of September. Do you remember the 28th? It wasn't really. That song was used a different date, but why not? I'm a few days late. We're Earth, Wind, and Fire. 272nd day of the year. 94 full days left to go. 1789, this is a pretty significant day when it comes to Thanksgiving. Even though the Pilgrims kind of invented Thanksgiving, it was this date that it first kind of went to government. 1789, first federal Congress passed a resolution that asked President George Washington to recommend a national day of Thanksgiving. Several days later, George himself, old wooden teeth, with his powdered wig, issued a proclamation that named Thursday, November 26th, as a day of public Thanksgiving. You know, back in the 1700s, the word public had a K at the end because there was a newspaper, a magazine that came out that had that word in its title. The name of the magazine or newspaper periodical was Public and had a K in it. I wonder at what point in time did they drop the K? Was that English? Was that based from England? Anyway, the fixed date for Thanksgiving Day, the fourth Thursday of November, was established later in 1941. So it took a while for it to establish as we know it now, the fourth Thursday of November. So it meandered a bit, but George Washington got the ball rolling here, 1789, following up on what the Pilgrims had established as a tradition. 1920 here, the state baseball.
Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so.
It was so, even though Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams, when he's talking to his young daughter, played by, was it Gabby Hayes? It's Gabby something. And he's saying, well, there's no proof that he actually did do any cheating or throw the World Series in 1918 because he had great stats. Home runs, batting average, on-base percentage, whatnot. But this was the date, 1920, that eight members of that Chicago White Sox club, eight men out, 19, I think I said 18. I'm thinking of the Spanish flu, 1918. 1919 World Series. They threw it. They got caught. They were indicted. They were banned forever, including Shoeless Joe. 1941, Ted Williams ended the baseball season with a .406 average. He went 8-for-6 in a doubleheader. He started the day hitting .399.55, .399.55. Now, if he would have sat that day out, he would have been considered a .400 hitter because they round up. But instead of sitting out, Ted Williams, being the competitor that he is, said, no, I'm going to play. He goes 6-for-8, finishes .406. And then it was exactly the same day, 19 years later, that he had his final game.
One out, nobody on, last of the eighth inning. Jack Fisher into his windup. Here's the pitch. Williams swings, and there's a long drive to deep right. That ball is gone, and it is gone. A home run for Ted Williams in his last time at bat in the major league.
Kurt Gowdy on the call. 1960, Ted Williams in his final at bat hits a home run. Amazing, legendary baseball player, Ted Williams. So two big events in his career and in baseball history on this date in 41 and in 1960. 61.
TV theme time.
You better know that, Virtual Neil. Yes, it is. Who wrote this one? It's a great TV theme.
I'll look that up.
Now, it's Hazel. Hazel debuted on this date, and she may have invented the whole TV housekeeper genre. We wouldn't have had Alice. We wouldn't have had Uncle Charlie. We wouldn't have had Mrs. Garrett. Benson was more of a butler, but you get the idea. Hazel with Shirley Booth, it was on for 5 or 6 seasons in the early to mid-60s. Debuted on this date in 1961 on NBC. This song by the Beatles, it's believed on this date, 1963, that radio DJ Murray the K in New York believed to be the first person to ever play a Beatles song on the radio, New York radio, She Loves You, 1963, and it would, of course, start hysteria, mania, the whole thing. Same day, 1963, Tennessee Tuxedo as Buddy Chumley. They debuted.
Deep in the vast frozen wastes of the South Pole, icy winds and snow shape a bleak landscape. Yet there are many animals who make their homes in this frigid land. Animals cleverly adapted by nature to live in sub-freezing temperatures, like the penguin.
Achoo!
And the walrus. That's funny. I thought walruses came from the North Pole.
Yeah. Well, I was headed down, but I must have overshot.
Some place to land, eh? No excitement, no activity, and there's always a draft. Boy, would I love to be in a nice, warm hotel room in the big city.
Tennessee Tuxedo Chumley. Who doesn't do a Chumley impersonation? Oh, gee, Tennessee. I mean, everybody does one, right? So Tennessee Tuxedo, Don Adams is the voice, obviously. And it's one of the fun... That was way before my time, and I remember Tennessee Tuxedo. It had an impact on my life. Debuted on the state 1963. 69, Neil.
In his first game of 1969, Cap passed for 7 touchdowns and led the Vikings to a smashing victory over the NFL champion Baltimore Colts.
It's a big day this state. Vikings on their way to an NFL championship and the Super Bowl in 1969. Joe Capp, 7 touchdown passes against the Baltimore Colts. His passes had nothing on them more than the signature of the commissioner. It was Joe Capp. None of those passes were spirals, I'm pretty sure of it. 1969. 1982, this was in the news and people were scared.
3 people are dead and another is in critical condition tonight.
One of the victims took the pills he bought to his home.
His brother and sister-in-law were so upset by his death that they went back to the house and took some Tylenol from the same bottle.
So Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol capsules had been laced with cyanide in Chicago. The first few deaths were reported. 5 immediately, then 7 people eventually. There were some copycat cases around the nation. And, of course, the case resulted in tamper-proof packaging that we see today. You can't get in, not just medicine, but basically everything cannot be tampered with for the most part. Many of them have seals and other things. 1982. 1984 in Twins history. This was a sad day and a good day in Twins history, actually, because this date in 84, the Twins were effectively knocked out of the 1984 American League West race, which was called the American League worst there for a few years because teams are barely over 500 winning the division. But the Twins blew a 10-0 lead against Cleveland the night after Jamie Quirk hit an unlikely home run to beat the Twins. And then they were further knocked out of the race and lost 11-10 after being up 10-0 in Cleveland 84. But just 3 years later, I think that whole group, they learned from 84. And they used it in 87.
Now with his lead, Herbeck plays behind him. And a little fly ball to the second baseman. Robert Rosie, the throw to first. They got it. The Twins win the championship.
That's Harmon Killebrew on the call. The Twins win the championship. First pennant, American League Western Division pennant since 1970. That was this day down in Texas in 87. Also 87.
Now, a spectacular new galaxy starship, 8 times larger and light years ahead in technology, has been designed. Its mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life.
It was a whole new crew. The ship was still called Enterprise. None have but gone there was a Klingon on board? Well, how is that possible?
The next generation.
And an android. Star Trek The Next Generation. Neil, ever watch that?
I only watch Gunsmoke.
Starring Patrick Stewart and William Frakes, Brent Spiner. It was great. It was good. It was 1987. Star Trek continuing to live on. That was in 87. 1997, the DVD format featured for the first time. Official debut at the 103rd Convention of the Audio Engineering Society, the AES. Oh boy, I bet you the parties at that particular convention were just off the hook. The official debut of DVD, 1997. That's not that long ago. And now DVDs are starting to wane a little bit because everybody's just streaming and downloading and doing all that stuff. And DVD knocked out VHS. It didn't take many years either. I think I bought my first DVD about 2001, somewhere in there. So it wasn't that long after that. 2004, I mentioned Randy Travis. He received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Randy's making more and more appearances here in the last year or so. Television appearances, special appearances. He's still unable to really sing. but is making appearances. He doesn't talk much. Usually his wife talks for him, but that's good. But still a long road back, Randy, from that stroke. But it was this day in 2004 that he received his star, much-deserved star, on the Hollywood Walk of Fame 5 years ago.
NASA has found evidence of salty flowing water on Mars. The agency made the announcement at a news conference Monday morning, calling it a major science finding. NASA's associate administrator...
We have salty water on Mars. 2015. Big, big news. All right, birthdays now.
TV theme time.
Face to face.
Already in, and we have two TV themes.
TV theme time.
And that means it's a mail-it-in Monday, basically. It's not the last one, I don't think. So Joel Higgins, who was Ricky Schroeder's father on Silver Spoons, he was the rich guy who had all the video games and the arcade in his house. And of course, he also dated, I think, Erin Gray, right? Yeah. Not a bad gig. Edward Staten III, played by Joel Higgins, who is 77 today. This guy, he never, ever got the better of Ferris Bueller.
What is so dangerous about a character like Ferris Bueller is he gives good kids bad ideas.
Uh-huh.
Last thing I need at this point in my career is 1,500 Ferris Bueller disciples running around these halls. He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
He's the principal. One of the great mustaches of all principals in history of being principal. Jeffrey Jones, 74, for Mr. Rooney. Ed Rooney, Principal Rooney. He's a righteous dude there, Mr. Rooney. Ed, 74 today for Jeffrey Jones. The comedian Janine Garofalo made two cameos on two of my favorite sitcoms. She was on Seinfeld, and then not too long after that, The King of Queens.
Doug, it's okay. It's okay. I'm over what happened between us.
You are?
Yeah. Not going to say. It didn't hurt me, but it was a long time ago, and I've lost the weight.
The weight?
Yeah, I put on about 100 pounds after you dumped me.
All right, okay.
I lost the weight. I kicked the amphetamines, which incidentally I took to lose the weight, and I've moved on.
Hey, at least you had a fun time eating your way up that 100 pounds.
I lost the use of one kidney.
She was very good in that episode. She made empanadas that were delicious. Janine Garofalo, 56. You know what? My youth, I think I could have survived without ever hearing this song.
I am so sure he's like so gross. Like, just sort of like plays with all his rings and he like flirts with all the guys in the class. It's like terribly disgusting. I'm like so sure of like, barf me out. Gag me with a spoon.
She added to our vocabulary and our lexicon, barf me out, gag me with a spoon. I think we could have survived without those, but Moon Zappa. I've always known her as Moon Unit Zappa, but apparently she's dropped the unit. And, of course, the daughter of the late Frank Zappa. Her brother is Dweezil. Moon Unit Zappa, 53. Jake Reed, the former Viking wide receiver, part of Three Deep. There in the 90s when we had Chris Carter, Jake Reed, and then in 98, here comes Randy Moss. That wasn't a bad wide receiver core. That Justin Jefferson looks pretty good. Too bad the Vikings weren't able to ride it to a win yesterday. But Jake Reed, happy birthday, 53.
TV theme time.
Yeah, it's another one. Never watched this show, but I'm sure somebody out there did, and she is our token millennial on the birthdays here on the Almanac. Hilary Duff. Lizzie McGuire. 33 today. Now gone but not forgotten. Neil Staff left me a few here, including one from 551 BC. 551 BC, Confucius.
Confucius say, a true friend is someone who blanks you when you have a cold.
What you going to come up with, Nipsey Russell?
Oh,
so Confucius.
A true friend is someone who blanks you or branks you when you have a cold.
Confucius, 551 BC, and then later in the 70s, he's influencing Match Game. Can you believe that? Confucius, still to this day, teacher, philosopher, Confucianism, 551 BC. The person who first gave us free kindergarten. You know, before that, they charge kindergarten. In fact, with every little step that your child took in kindergarten, that would be a ka-ching. They'd charge $15 for learning how to tie the shoe, $10 for learning 1 through 10, playing with your neighbors and sharing toys. That cost you $25. And then along came Kate Wiggin, who said, you know what? That stuff should be free. 1856, Gone But Not Forgotten. Ed Sullivan.
Here's one of the all-time favorites of our show, Topo Gigio from Italy. So let's bring little Topo on here.
Ed Sullivan, he started a lot of careers, did he not? Ed Sullivan, 1901.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
That's Peter Finch. You remember him from, who forgets that particular scene, from Network, of course, and he won an Oscar for that. And I could see people reacting that now to some of the news and things going on. Not going to take it anymore. Peter Finch, 1616. Arnold Stang, funny voice.
Oh, that's cute, cute, very cute, Officer Dibble, sir. It's nice to know the long arm of the law has a funny bone. But for your misinformation, Dribble, it's Dibble.
Arthur Stang, the voice of Top Cat. And for you younger folks, 1980s, he was the voice of the bee, Honey Nut Cheerios bee, trying to get you to switch over from Cheerios to Honey Nut Cheerios. Now they have several different varieties. I don't know what the Honey Nut bee would think about that, but Arnold Stang, 1925, Rod Roddy.
How would you feel if I called down Luann Lyons? Come on down! You're the next contestant on the Price is Right!
He took over for Johnny Olson, 1937. Come on, he had a good come on down. Not quite Johnny Olson, but who could be as good as Johnny Olson? Rod Roddy was still pretty good, 1937.
So darling, darling, stand by me.
And Benny King started with the Drifters and then had this song as just a humongous solo hit. And then there was a movie with the song in it, and it was big again. Mickey Gilley did a version of this that was featured in Urban Cowboy. Of course, Urban Cowboy Fave 5 this week. Tune in tomorrow at 7:22 for my number 4 song from Urban Cowboy right here on the Bob Morning Show. And that's Benny King, born in this state, 1938. And now they're all gone, but not forgotten. My apologies to anybody who was expecting a Mr. Whoopi reference during the Tennessee Tuxedo portion of today's Almanac. Didn't have time to get it in. Maybe next time here on the Bob Almanac. I'll be back for the All Request Lunch Hour at noon.
KDDG Albany. KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud. KBGY Faribault.